that hymn to the world sounds real formal and real staid, you know, real solemn, and it is. But for those who know it, it's wonderful. And Martin Luther, who we owe a great debt to, that man who stood alone in his day. You have a Bible because the Lord used that man. And the Lord gave him such strength and courage, and who fought with devils, literally, and wrote that hymn. And if you ever, when you have and when you do feel like you've been assaulted and are being assaulted, that means a lot to you, doesn't it? And these hymns the world doesn't know nor care for, but we do. I love that hymn. I love that hymn. Mindy and I were watching some movie the other night, and there was an old-fashioned congregation, Presbyterian, singing what's my favorite song? What's my favorite song? No.
There's a
fountain. Huh?
There's a fountain.
No. Yeah, at any rate, they're singing my favorite song. I'll never forget it. At any rate. What?
The greatest
of faithful. No. I love that one too. Forget it. I did. But they were singing it. And they made it sound so old-fashioned and so just morose. And I know people who watched that movie thought that's what old-fashioned, ignorant, religious people sing. And Be Thou My Vision is what it was. I love that hymn. And they were singing that and singing it real formal because they didn't know it, you know. And I just thought they made that out to be something undesirable. And the world doesn't know these hymns. We're going to continue to sing them. We love them. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This chapter, the subject of this chapter is our Lord's return, the end of the world. We've looked at this quite often. We looked at it not too long ago. You remember the title was What They Say and What We Know. Remember that? That was just not too long ago. We looked at this, a couple of years at the most. What they say, but what we know. And we need to look at this quite often because the Apostle Peter told us to. He said, I want you to keep this in mind. Always be mindful of these things. Look at it, verse 1 and 2. He said, Beloved, I write unto you in both the first and second epistles, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful. Remember. Back in chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it's fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, and I will endeavor you may be able after my death to have these things always in remembrance. So, you see, we need to keep this in mind. Our Lord's imminent and certain and soon return. Very soon. The Lord Himself told us, when you see all these things, know that He's at the door. You can discern the sign of the times. Paul said it's not needful to write that unto you. You ought to be able to know, and we do. And everything points to His imminent and soon return. So he writes this to stir up our minds. It says that we may remember. And as time goes on, and as things do continue, things do continue according to God's good providence and His mercy. The Lord is so merciful. And as we're going to see, His long-suffering is salvation. But men don't take that into account. We do, don't we? And the Lord may be not returning for the sake of one of our own, save them. Well, I hope that's so. But as time goes on and Christ does not come and iniquity abounds, and boy, you don't see how it could get worse, do you? Well, that's what he said. Perilous times. Dangerous. Awful time. Judgment. Isaiah 59. We just read that, didn't we, Ron, the other day. And it says judgment turned way backward. Completely backward. Romans 1, you know, such a picture of these days. Reprobate times. And look down at verse 17. He says at the end here that, beloved, you know these things, beware. That's why he's writing this, to remind us and for us to beware lest we be also led away with the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked one, that is, the deceitful one. The God of this world who deceives the people of this world. He's been deceiving the people of this world since Eve, hasn't it? And he uses the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of riches. So he says, beware. What's our defense? We just sang it. We just sang it, didn't we? God, our fortress, our refuge, and His Word. His Word. How do we remember? And the last verse says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How? How do we remember? How do we keep these things in mind? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and always. Remember that? Let the Word of Christ, the Word of God is how, you know, if these things, hide thy word, write thy word on the tables of my heart. If these words be in us, we won't be deceived. We're not in darkness as others. And how do you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. The more you read it, the more you hear it, the more convinced you are of who Christ is, the more certain His return is, the more you see it, things unfolding. His Word, His Word. The Word spoken, He said, by the prophets and the apostles. That's all the Word of God. This is a day when very few people are mindful of or even consider this to be God's Word. Right? We're in the day that He told young Timothy they will turn away their ears from the truth unto fable. And call into question all of this book as merely a fable. Don't they? Beginning with creation. And we're going to look at that. But we know, he says in chapter 1, look at chapter 1, verse 19. He says, we have this sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This world is in darkness and ignorance. Scripture says they grope for the wall. But if the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart, verse 20, we know this, that no prophecy, there's not one word in this book that's of any man's personal opinion or interpretation. You know that, don't you? You believe that, don't you? Verse 21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men, men chosen of God, men taught of God, led of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, you know that. You know that. All right? This is written to the beloved, isn't it? The beloved. It says that four times in chapter 3 alone. Beloved, 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 beloved. The beloved. Those whom he said have obtained like precious faith. Who've obtained it, not attained it. Obtained, given to them. That's who this is written to, believers. And so I'm not going to argue tonight about, I'm not going to try to prove God or creation or the flood or anything. We're just going to declare what it says here. We know these things. Let the potsherds strive. We're not going to argue with them. We're going to just declare it. All right, he says, I want to stir up your pure mind. That means those who are true believers, sincere believers. Those who believe salvation by pure grace, purely by Christ. I want you to remember, and as we said, the best way to remember is to keep thinking about it, to keep hearing it over and over again. That you might be mindful, verse 2, of the words of the prophets, the words of the apostles. That's the whole word of God. Knowing this first, verse 3. Know this first. Keep this in mind. That in there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, or that is for their own evil desires and deceitful motives. Verse 4. And they'll be saying, where is the promise of His coming? Where is this Jesus? You say He's coming? Well, since the fathers fell asleep, or the Jewish fathers, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is it? Everything continued. And they mock. They mock. And there's more mockery now than ever. They mocked Noah, didn't they? They mocked all believers in every age, but now, since there are more people on the earth than ever before, there's more mockery. And since religion, false religion, is so widespread, it's the religion of this world, false religion. And I blame it on false religion, the mockery. They've made a mockery of God. They've made a mockery of God's Word. They've made a mockery of God's Son, so that everyone is scoffing at it, laughing at it. But God is not mocked, the Scripture said. In fact, Psalm 2 says, He that sitteth in the heavens laughs. They may try to mock God. Well, all right, there are two things he says that the natural man is willingly ignorant of. If the root word of ignorant is what? Ignore. Willingly ignore or choose to not believe. I reject this hands down. That's what men say. Science, falsely so called. Didn't Paul tell young Timothy, avoid opposition of science. Don't get into it. It's falsely so called. Science means the study of truth. They're not after the truth. They're in it for money. And so they're going to report whatever makes them money, whatever the people want to say, want to hear. But this is what science and the natural man willingly ignores and rejects. Verses 5 and 6. They willingly ignore and reject that the heavens and the earth, standing out of the water, in the water, that were, they were by the Word of God created. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How? Spoke it into existence. Made things that are out of nothing. They reject that thumbprint. And it is universally accepted. Evolution, isn't it? You know it is. I mean, it is universally accepted. And anyone, and even so-called Christianity today, is trying to accept some kind of creation evolution, aren't they? Well, I reject that. Thumbs down, don't you? Thumbs down. Reject it. And we're not going to argue with it. Let them argue with it. God has blinded their mind. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become utter fools. It takes more faith. You have to be a blooming idiot to believe evolution. You do. You have to be a blooming idiot. It takes more faith to believe what scientists are purporting today than it does what God says. And God proves it. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day, your thumbprint reveals God. A snowflake. Anything, everything. Well, let them... My. Who maketh us the difference? Well, and they're willingly ignorant of this. They reject that the world, verse 6... that then was overflowed with water. That's the flood. In spite of all the evidence, and there are mountains of evidence. Literally. Mountains. The oldest. I said I wasn't going to prove it. I'm not going to get into that. But they thumbs down reject that. Why? Why do they reject creation and the flood? Why? Because if there's a God that created all things, He owns everything. And cannot He do with His own what He will? You do. If you make something, you have the sovereign right to do with that whatever you will. And nobody can say anything about it. That's God. That's where you begin. That's where it all began. That's where apostasy began. Reject that. And then the flood is a clear story of God's judgment against sin. That God is angry with the wicked. That God will punish sin. Hates it. That means He's the judge. He's a holy judge. And He will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth will surely die. That's absolute proof that God will judge sin. So they have to reject that. And so what do you have? If you reject God, you reject judgment, you reject a creator, an owner, a judge. What you fast approach then is an amoral society, or society with no morals whatsoever. There's no rights and no wrong. And haven't we just about entered that state? Huh? I saw in the Roanoke paper, did you see it? One big headline, it says, gay marriage is inevitable. It is inevitable. It is. It's going to be universally accepted. Because Romans 1 says so. Doesn't it? We don't accept it. But we just understand that it's coming. Why? Because God has left them alone. Left them alone. No right, no wrong. Because there's no God. Right? Every man. In the last verse in the Judges says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel. So every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you could say that about the United States of America, couldn't you? The whole world. So that's where we are, aren't we? Now, be assured that we are in the very last of the last day. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The whole world, the Lord said, He looked down and the whole earth had corrupted His way. And isn't that now? You cannot find a society on earth that hasn't corrupted His way. Sad, isn't it? Real sad. What was the world like? Well, our Lord told us about it in Luke 17. It says, as in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. As in the days of Lot, they were buying and selling and building and so forth. And those things aren't evil, but meaning that they were prosperous time and didn't give God a thought. God blessed them. God fed them, clothed them, did all these things. But the Romans 1 says they weren't thankful, did not acknowledge God. God was not in all their thoughts. So God gave them over. Changed the glory of God. Worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's God blessed forever. And God gave them over. And that's where we are. And don't be ignorant of that. Keep that in mind. When every generation has thought that the Lord was coming, but it's never been like it is now. We thought the 60s was bad, didn't we? The 70s? It's worse. It's worse. Didn't think it could be. It's worse. It's worse. All right, look at verse 7. He says, the heavens, and by that same word, by the same God, the heavens and the earth are now kept in store. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition or damnation or ruin or destruction of ungodly men. That is, men and women who don't give God a thought. God has reserved this world. It's facing fire and judgment. You know, there's nothing that the world scoffs at more than to talk about fire and brimstone, is it? Huh? For a preacher. To stand up and preach fire and brimstone. You know who that was that said that? Jesus Christ in Luke 17. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that said that. That He rained fire and brimstone. Call him a fool, will you? And we need to approach people in that. Let me say this with, I need to say it with a tear in my eye, but we need to approach people in that way, that you're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. You're rejecting God here. You're not rejecting me or John Calvin or even John the Baptist. You're rejecting Jesus Christ. He's the one that preached fire and brimstone. It's not an old fable. It's not a foolish old ignorant itinerant preacher standing on the street corner. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that said that. He's the one that talked about that. Fire and brimstone. Reserved unto fire. Verse 8. Beloved, don't be ignorant of this one thing. Beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The world is ignorant of that, aren't they? Men are subject to time. Human beings are subject to time, aren't we? We live according to time. We think something's taking too much time. Taking too long or not enough time. We're subject to time. God is not subject to time. And we can't even understand that, can we? We can't enter into that. There is no time with God. When describing Himself, what does He say? I am. Not I was, not I shall be. I am. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I can't describe that. I can't understand that. Can you? We're creatures of time. We don't know what 60 seconds from now is going to hold. We can't plan or really purpose anything 10 seconds from now. It might be over. We don't know. Not God. It's all been done. It's all already taken place. That's what he's saying there, that with the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day. And he said one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. He has so wisely and magnificently ordered and purposed everything in the universe. And time is nothing. What if the Lord did spend 1,000 years making something? Huh? Making something so intricate and complex, spend 1,000 years. But it's still nothing to Him, isn't it? Our technology, has greatly improved or leaps and bounds in just 50 or 100 years, hasn't it? Well, 1,000 years, one day, spent the equivalent maybe of 1,000 years in the ordering and the purpose of one day. That's how you can know that all things work together and every particle of dust in the sunbeam, He's ordered where it will go. That's our God. Men say, I don't believe that. So be it. I do. Don't you? And verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. His promise. And he's talking about the promise of His coming. Where's the promise of His coming? Lord, I love 1st and 2nd Peter, don't you? Oh my. He says in this beginning of 2nd Peter, He's given us many exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might escape. God has promised us eternal life. God, who cannot lie, has promised us eternal life in His Son. And you can trust Him for that. Just rest right there, okay? God can't lie. Would you trust someone who cannot lie, who never has and cannot? Then do it. He that believeth hath life. Rest right there. God has promised His Holy Spirit, hasn't He? He said, I won't leave you comfortless, Christ said. I'll send My Spirit, the earnest of His Spirit. And we have Him. Those who preach Christ, believe Christ, they have the Spirit of Christ. And they're taught. Christ's return, He promised it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of Mine shall fail. He said, I'm coming quickly.
Lo, I come quickly, he said. He can't lie. He's coming. How many times in the Scriptures does it say that? Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Remember that? Paul said, when the trump shall sound, and it shall sound. He keeps reiterating that. Believe it, because the world's scoffing at it. 2000, remember when the year 2000 rolled around? Everybody remembers it. Y2K, even unbelievers were shaking a little bit. They wouldn't admit it. But when the next morning rolled around, there was a collective sigh of relief. You could hear it. Whew. See? See, there ain't nothing to it. Well, 10 years has rolled by. 11 years, 12 years. They're really scoffing now, aren't they? 12 years? What's 12 years? Is our calendar right? Oh, come on. I know they missed a day somewhere because the sun stopped it. Well, man doesn't have a clue what time it is. Man, oh man, don't have a clue. Well, where am I? Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's promised that Christ will return, as some men count slackness. And you know, He says this to us to remember that time is of no essence to God, that known unto God are all His works from the beginning, that God has predestined and ordered all things for our comfort, that we might not be unsettled by Christ not coming yet. We want Him to come. And as people begin to scoff and laugh and see He's not coming, don't let anything they say bother you. Don't do it. That's why we keep looking to His Word, believing Him. But it's kind of like this. When our Lord was here, nothing bothered Him, did it? Nothing bothered Him. You read a book, and I often do this. I read books over and over again. Some books I've read several times. And if you know the end, from the beginning, if you know the end from the beginning, even if that book contains many heartaches and sorrows and troubles and turmoil and disasters and traumas and all of that, if you know the end from the beginning, you can read it through without being too upset. Can't you? Well, folks, we do have the end. We do have need. And we need to read that every now and then, Stephen. We need to go right to the end and read it. Keep reminding ourselves. This is the end. It's good. It's real good. Christ called Himself the end. I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I am that I am. And nothing would bother us if we would keep these things in mind. Keep the end. Know the end. You know why things take place to bring about the end. You know the outcome, and you know it's all good, and it might make you smile a little bit more, a little more comfortable, even in these trials. So we need to keep reading the end from the beginning. But the Lord is not slack, it says in verse 9, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. See, He's not coming. Not on your schedule, He's not. No man knows. He told us that many times. And you got all these fools out there telling people it's going to be in 1984. George Orwell said that. Or 2001, 2003. So any man that says that is an obvious false prophet. But people fall for it. You know better than that, don't you? Because our Lord plainly said that no man knows the day or the hour of it. We know the general seasons and what seems to precede His soon return, but we don't know the day and the hour. And it's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. We all procrastinate. And so we're to be looking as if He were coming tonight. right, tonight. Well, and he might. But he's long-suffering. Verse 9. There's no verse in the Bible that men pervert more than this one right here. 2 Peter 3:9. I always bring it up. That woman on the radio wrote me and quoted this to me. I didn't answer. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to who? Who's He writing to? The beloved. Us. He's talking about them, they say, but we know. He's long-suffering to us. You got them, you got us. You got the unbelieving world, and you got us. Our Lord said, they, speaking of us, are not of this world. Well, He's long-suffering to us. Now look at verse 15. You need to account. Keep this in mind. The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Had the Lord come to this earth in 1973, I would have been damned. But He waited to be gracious to me. He's long-suffering in salvation. He bears long with the world for His elect's sake. He bears long with us in our sin for the fullness of time when He's going to reveal His Son to us. Amen. He puts up with us a long time. Bears long. Waiting for the fullness of the Gentile. Waiting for His purpose in all things to be fulfilled. Long-suffering. Not willing that any of His people should perish. Any of us should perish. But that all should come to repentance. And so God gave them all to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's why they'll all come, because the shepherd calls them. And they come. And what God worketh all things according to His will. Doesn't he? And if He's not willing, it won't happen. So verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Men talk about a big bang theory. It's going to be a big bang all right. The element, that's that trumpet's what it is. Trumpet sound. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything in this earth burned up. Think about that. Every one of us have worked hard, haven't we, for many years and accumulated a lot of things. Burned up. That's why it says, what manner of persons we ought to be. Should we dwell on and pursue after and be taken up with and in love with things that are going to be burned up? Gone in a moment. Burned up. My grandparents, my dad's parents, lived in Tecumseh, Georgia when I was just a boy. I had a little farm down there right beside the general store, Uncle Lawrence's general store. We'd go in there. It was a potbelly stove and a nail keg, and the men played checkers on it and sat on the front porch. Honestly. And there were mason jars everywhere. But I remember that farm so well with such, that vivid, wonderful memories. My fondest memories were Tecumseh, Georgia, that farm. They lived right across the street from a sawmill, and there was a pond there we swam in, and it was just wonderful memories. They had some cattle, and we befriended those. They were pets to us and so forth. And my grandparents were on Social Security at the time. And one day, I don't know where they were. Where were they? They came home, their house was burned to the ground. And they did not have any insurance. None. All that they worked for, gone. And they had to move to Ashland. And it took years for them to recover them. Lived in a little bitty house, a little poor house. They were well taken care of by the Lord, but all gone. Look, our Lord said, all the works. all the architecture, art, works of art, science, music, knowledge, technology, houses, lands, attainments, everything man works for, earned it. Boy, that'll put things, ought to put things in perspective, shouldn't it? Holy conversation, he says there. We ought to, what we ought to be in all holy conversation. That's not some fake, phony religious talk, you know. That's not what that's talking about. It's just talking about having your affection set on things above. Colossians 3, right? Where Christ said it. Like Hebrews 11. If they had been mindful of that city from which they came, they might have gone back. But they looked for a better one. A city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God, which hath foundations. They'll never perish. Heavenly things. Things that wax not old, where moths and thieves and rust can't corrupt. That's what he says. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, eternity, eternal things. The things that are seen are temporal. We ought to look at everything in light of eternity, shouldn't we? Ought to. And God's people do, for the most part. But that's why this is written. To remind us. To keep reminding us. I need reminding more than anybody. We all get led away with the error of the wicked, don't we? The wicked one. Look at that. Look at that. He tried to tempt our Lord with these things, didn't he? He found nothing in him. I don't want him. I don't want anything in me either. Lord, remove these idols. Verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens on fire shall be dissolved. How do you haste His coming? Look forward to His coming. Hastening His coming. Well, the more we think on His coming, the more we talk about it, the more we meet together and exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. We're all thinking about it, and it makes it nearer, doesn't it? It makes it more real, and it makes it nearer. There have been times we've met together when we thought, the Lord's coming tonight. Remember that? There was a New Year's Eve service that several people said, we thought it was coming tonight. Well, there will come a time when He does, and I believe it will be when God's people meet together. I really do. Just like they were standing out there watching Him go, they said, He shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. When His people are looking for Him. Meeting together, praying, calling on Him. In a moment, twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be like Enoch, Nancy. We're going to be singing and all of a sudden wake up in glory. Our voice is perfect. A dew of youth on our brow. That's true. That's not fable. That's not a cunningly devised fable. That's the truth, as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, beloved, verse 14, you look for these things, so be diligent. Remember, Peter's the one that said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That means watchful. That means always about these things, always doing this. Why do we meet together? We're watching together, exhorting one another. We're given diligence. We're trying to make sure, am I one of His? Am I one of the called? Am I one of the elect? I believe I am. I hope so. Well, whoever the elect is, He keeps calling. He keeps calling. If you keep coming, you're one of the called. So we give diligence to be found of Him in peace. That doesn't mean just peaceable. That means in Christ, without spot and blameless. Who's going to be found holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight? Who? Those in Christ. So that's where you want to be. In Him. Account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. Paul spoke of this, he said. His wisdom, he gave this in his writings, all of his epistles. Spoke of our Lord's return, His resurrection, and His return. Because everything depends. Everything we believe depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation depends on that He came and He died for our sins. Our salvation depends on the fact that He rose from the grave for our justification. And our final, eternal salvation depends on Him coming back to receive us and take us home. Well, He did. I mean, He did die. And He did rise. And He is seated. And He is coming again. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I come to receive you to myself, he said. And so Paul wrote of this in every epistle. And unlearned and unstable men and women twist and corrupt. He said, we're not as many that rest or corrupt the Scripture. To their own destruction and those who hear them. Verse 17. Beloved, you know these things. Seeing you know these things before. Beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. There's another, but as in Hebrews it said, give diligence, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's been some people leave, haven't there? There have been some people we know that thought, loved the Lord and left. And it can happen, can't it? But how do you know someone really knows this thing, really knows and loves the Lord? They keep believing. They continue in the faith. And faith cometh by hearing. Beware. Beloved, beware. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Oh, He's the God of all grace. We need it. It comes through His Word. I hear Him. We need the grace of repentance. We need the grace of faith. We need the grace of perseverance. We need the grace of wisdom. We need His grace. And this is how it comes. It doesn't come any other way. And the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to trust Him. The more you hear of Him, the more you hear Him preach, the more you read about Him, the more you call on Him, the more you commune with Him, the greater your faith and trust, the greater your peace, the greater your comfort. It's so. Because everything we believe is Him. The resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. It's not an event, it's a person. To Him be glory both now and forever. What do you say to that? Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. All right, you're dismissed.